right, we are back. Thank you guys for hanging out. Davin's Den off for 2 weeks. Back here hanging with you. Let's start with what are we looking for? School of Fools. That's what we're doing, right, Pip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. This was Pip's blog. So we'll do some School of Fools. And I'm sure you all read the blog. A group of Texas educators have proposed to the Texas State Board of Education that slavery should be taught as involuntary relocation during second grade social studies instruction. But board members have asked them to reconsider their phrasing according to the state board's chair. The board, with unanimous consent, directed the work group to revisit that specific language, Kevin Ellis, chair of the Texas State Board of Education, said in a statement issued late Thursday. The working group of nine educators, including a professor at the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley, is one of many such groups advising the state education board to make curriculum changes. This summer, the board will consider updates to social studies instruction a year after lawmakers passed the law to keep topics that make students feel discomfort out of Texas classrooms. I mean, it's funny how the libs always talk about a safe space, but now a place of education has to be safe.
I know.
It's ridiculous. But we're all so delicate.
Yes. Snowflake, I think, is a word that I understand to mean delicate.
A snowflake's chance in Texas. You know? The board will have a final vote on the curriculum in November. The suggested change surfaced late during its June 15th meeting that lasted more than 12 hours. Oy vey. Board member Aisha Davis, a Democrat who represents Dallas and Fort Worth, brought up concerns to the board saying that wording is not a fair representation of the slave trade. Well, the board, upon reading the language in the suggested curriculum, sent the working draft back for revision. Upon reading it, we're supposed to just rubber stamp it, read it now. For K through 2, carefully examine the language used to describe events, specifically the term involuntary relocation, the state board wrote in its guidance to the work group. I can't say what their intention was, but that's not going to be acceptable, Davis told the Texas Tribune on Thursday. In 2015, Texas attracted attention when it was discovered a social studies textbook approved for the use in the state called African Slaves Who Were Brought to the United States, Workers.
Oh, boy.
Workers.
Workers, yes.
Workers. In this case, the group proposing, well, I mean, if you didn't work, you got whipped, so in one sense of the word.
Well, so it was work or die.
But still work.
Yeah, still work.
Still work. In this case, the group proposing these second grade curriculum revisions was given a copy of Senate Bill 3, Texas law that dictates how slavery and issues of race are taught in Texas. The law states that slavery can't be taught as part of the true founding of the United States and that slavery was nothing more than a deviation from American values. But was it? I mean, well, isn't it 3/5 of a man? Isn't that in the Constitution?
Yes, it is.
Isn't the Constitution the founding document of the United States?
I would say so.
So we're just making shit up.
No, you are.
Okay. I mean, God damn. I mean, we're talking about state-sanctioned stupidity.
Yes.
Oh, my God. They were given Senate Bill 3 so that had to have influenced their mind, with that being a document given to them right before they had to perform this review. Because they're trying to get along, to get along. You throw that in front of, okay. They're not black people. They're white people with a better tan. Ellis' statement pointed out that slavery is currently not included in social studies instruction to second graders. The topic of slavery is currently not addressed in the second grade curriculum. This work is meant to address that deficiency, he said. Stephanie Alvarez, a professor at the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley and a member of the group, said she did not attend the meetings. Somebody needs some education. Either the author of this article or her.
She had plenty of edumacation.
Anyway, did not attend the meetings when the language was crafted because of personal issues, but that the language was extremely disturbing. Not as disturbing as slavery, but disturbing nonetheless. She would not comment any further because of her role in the work group, she said. Well, that's why we want you to comment, stupid. If you weren't a member of the work group, nobody gives a shit. Part of the... Why do I have to figure out everything for these?
You know what? I don't think that she was part of the workbook because she wasn't there.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. She didn't do the work. She was not a worker. Part of the proposed social studies curriculum standard outlined that students should compare journeys to America, including voluntary Irish immigration, and they were treated well too, and involuntary relocation of African people during colonial times, treated worse. Annette Gordon Reed, a history professor at Harvard University, Harvard, you highfalutin lib, said using involuntary relocation to describe slavery threatens to blur out what actually occurred during that time in history. There's no reason to use the proposed language. Well, you know, just like rape, which happened during slavery, was involuntary sexual relations.
Yeah.
Involuntary penetration.
Involuntary dating.
No, it was involuntary penetration.
It was.
We don't like to use the word rape. A little harsh. Involuntary penetration.
Yeah, but involuntary penetration gets into, pardon the pun, what was actually happening. I think involuntary dating kind of skirts over it much more nicely.
Eh, I don't know. Young kids can grasp the concept of slavery and being kidnapped into it, Gordon Reed said. The African slave trade is unlike anything that has or has happened, the numbers and distance. Well, I mean, there's been a lot of slaves throughout history.
Yes.
Slavery is like a historic thing, so.
Yes, it goes back. I mean, anybody, there's this book going around called The Bible.
I was thinking that, too.
Yeah.
You know what the Jews were? Involuntary Masons. That's what the Jews were when they were building those pyramids. Involuntary Masons.
Involuntary Masons.
You know, the Bible's a little harsh. So, involuntary Masons. And you know they can't wait to teach the little ones about the Bible.
Yeah, right. Can't get right. Get right on that.
Jesus wasn't crucified. He was just hanging out. little harsh when you say Jesus had the nails through his hands.
Wasn't a cross, Jungle Gym. You know.
Jesus just hanging out, just working with some 2x4s. Remember, he was a carpenter. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just working on it.
Why does it all have to be so hard?
I don't know. He had a workplace accident.
Somebody's not dead. They're just inanimate. I mean, really? If language like when the group of Texas educators proposed is accepted and taught to children, it means the country is moving in the wrong direction, she said. Well, okay. Tell children the truth. They can handle it. Well, I don't know about that. Texas is in the process of developing a new curriculum for social studies. Of course they are. A process that happens about every decade to update what children should be learning in Texas. Texas's 8,866 public schools. This process comes as the state's public education system has become heavily politicized, from lawmakers passing legislation on how race and slavery should be taught in schools, to conservative political action committees pouring large amounts of money to put more conservatives on school boards who promise to get rid of curriculum and programs they consider divisive and make white children feel bad. Unless you go, you, Johnny, are the reason.
I didn't do this.
Well, maybe it makes black children feel bad, too, because they know their ancestors were property. Yeah. What about the black children? Why is it just white kids who can't feel bad?
Why should slavery make anybody feel good?
Yeah, well, you know what made me feel bad? As by being like one of the only Jewish kids? All that Christmas shit.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in elementary, that made me feel bad. Nobody cared about the Jews' feelings.
Stop it. No, that's true. We did throw a Hanukkah song in the.
Yeah, we got the dreidel. I had a little dreidel. No, and done.
No, we had Hanukkah.
Okay, fine. You get two. But you can only use one a year.
One a year.
Yeah. For the holiday, for the winter. It's Christmas fest. Stop it.
Yes.
Stop it. Governor Greg Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick have made parental rights a priority as they both seek re-election in November. Patrick also has vowed to push for a Don't Say Gay bill in Texas, mirroring Florida's conservative push to limit classroom discussions about LGBTQ people. Don't say gay. Feel gay. Last year's SB3 doesn't mention critical race theory by name, but the bill was designed to keep the teaching out of secondary schools, even though it is not taught in K-12 Texas public schools. Critical race theory is a university-level field of study based on the idea that racism is embedded in legal systems and not limited to individuals. It has become a common phrase used by conservatives to include anything about race taught or discussed in public secondary schools. The work group that proposed the language change in referring to slavery is one of several groups presenting their drafts to the State Education Board, which has the final say on whether to accept or reject them. Some drafts of new curriculum standards are published on the agency's website, but this was not, Davis said. Keep that one on the down low. I don't like it because it's a personal belief. I don't like it because it's not rooted in truth. We can have all the discussions we want, but we have to adopt the truth for our students. Apparently not. What do you think of this Texas law that dictates how slavery issues and race are taught in Texas? The law, no, I don't give a shit about what they said. All right, Pip, so what say you?
Well, I mean, there was a lot to unpack in this whole article, so I tried to keep it to one thing, and that was the use of that particular term, involuntary relocation, which is a ridiculous thing to call slavery. Slavery was so much more than that, and words matter. I mean, you know, we are all... I mean, comedians, writers, performers, words are particularly important. And restructuring something using different phrases that will make it nicer, couch it in a nicer thought, or try to lessen the impact. You don't lessen the impact of the Holocaust. You don't lessen the impact of slavery.
Here's the thing. The people who want to lessen the impact are the same ones that rail against participation trophies. It's the same people.
I know.
These kids need to learn winners and losers. They need to know reality, except when it comes to history.
Except when it comes to history that makes us feel bad.
Yeah, Little League, it's okay for kids to feel bad. Classroom, not okay.
Not okay. Do not learn real history. Learn a softened, gentle. Now, I know they're talking about second grade, and they've even said in here that slavery was not part of the curriculum for
I don't think I learned about slavery in the second grade.
No, I know
It seems a little early.
It seems early. But even if you are going to introduce the topic, I don't know why you want to do it for second graders. But if you
it has to be introduced at some point, just not the second grade.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good grade for it? Fifth grade.
Right.
Like the topic they were talking about, like the different paths of people to the United States.
Yeah.
Fifth grade is good for that. You can start having conversations.
Right. You can start talking about comparing and contrasting the different routes that people took to become part of the United States, because there's a really big difference between the diaspora of the Irish Americans that came here and the slave trade. They're very, very, very different. And don't just say that.
The Chinese that came here,
yeah, and you know, worked themselves to death, you know, putting together the railroad. I mean,
so they opened up a restaurant in the Bahamas, then they stopped,
but and then you just pounced on them.
Had enough of their laziness.
You railroaded them, if I might.
I would have.
Yeah. So
would have railroaded some Chinese people that do want to work.
The thing is that kids are not stupid. And when you start, like, telling these, you know, fairy tales, okay, kids, these people were involuntarily relocated. No, bullshit.
First of all, they don't know what the word involuntary relocated, they don't know what that phrase means.
Well, even if you're gonna try to explain that to them, that's not real.
It's harder explaining that than saying slavery.
Yeah. Kids know what's real.
Yeah, I mean, if
they know when their parents
they
are getting
go to
divorced.
Church. I mean, at some point they talk about the Jews were slaves.
Yeah. They understand the concept of being made to do something that you don't want.
Yes,
to.
Yes, because they're in school and they're doing stuff they don't want to do.
And they're children and they get told to do stuff that they don't want to do. They have to clean their rooms. But it's like, imagine if now the family has a pet. Imagine if that pet was a person and your family owned it.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. My pets get treated really well.
I would love to own a person.
Would you?
I think I could. I'd be a good master.
Yeah, no.
My mom used to say, you know, I ask her, what am I, your slave? No. And I would say, no, if you were, you wouldn't be talking back to me.
Oh, my God.
What? It's true. It's true. Slaves don't get lippy.
No, they do not.
So if you have to ask, what am I, your slave, then clearly you're not and you have it too good.
We've been treating you too well.
That's my thought process.
Oh, my God.
What? Well, tell me a good whipping or two wouldn't make her not have to ask that question.
You know what? I'm not well, but I do know your mother, and I refuse to answer.
But you know I'm right. Like, if I have to ask you to do me something, it's not slavery.
Right.
If I tell you and you do it, it's slavery, and you don't have to ask. So why are we wasting this time?
Here's the thing. I mean, this whole, like you said, they had a 12-hour meeting about this and other things.
Well, the first hour was about blogs.
Yeah.
They first talked about blogs and involuntary blogging.
Yeah, but the pickle assortment that they had at this meeting was amazing.
A fine display of pickles, which you wouldn't expect in a Texas suburb.
I hear they even had olives. I'm just guessing.
Listen, I would love to do olives, but we're not olive people. We're not that fancy.
No, we don't deserve olives.
Stuffed olive?
I just had olives.
What?
I just had olives.
Did you?
Show
look
off.
At him. Highfalutin.
Yeah, just, I don't think the computer's fine. I think I'm broken. I think he just needed an olive break.
That's it.
The olive break on break.
He was having a trouble getting that jar open. Yeah. Is what it was.
He's just struggling. Ah! Has to go across the street to the lesbians that help him off the roof.
Listen, just because they can open jars doesn't make them any lesser people.
I didn't say that. I said they were more people. I said they were more than him. They can open an olive jar.
They're better than him. Then.
That's what I'm saying. Why would you say lesser? I'm clearly saying Joe's the lesser.
Oh, that's true. No, I mean, oh.
No, go on.
So, the getting back to the point, sort of, whenever you have this kind of thing where people are trying to change history by changing the language that we use to discuss history, to try to make it nicer, then we're rewriting our history. And we are doomed to relive our mistakes if we don't learn them. And so if we're going to continue to tell our country's history in a way that makes us always the hero, always the brave, always the righteous.
That's what communist countries do. That's what dictatorship countries do.
That's North Korea.
That's North Korea. That's what they want.
It's your leader.
But this goes to my point where they always say, oh, the liberals are soft, blah, blah. And I was going, no, both sides. Both sides are insane.
Yes.
They just pick their own nonsense. This is a ridiculous conversation by the conservatives here because we don't want to make white children uncomfortable. Well, you know who should have made, you know what would have made them not uncomfortable? If black children weren't forced to be slaves. Because
if you hadn't sold their ancestors. How about that?
You know who's really uncomfortable? The slaves. The slaves had a lot of discomfort.
I think if you look at an overview on this, the whole thing about it is, well, we need to soften the words so the children don't get upset, okay? But here's the deal. A second grader is 7 years old, okay? You're forcing this on them at 7 years old. If you went to maybe the fifth grade...
That's what we said. Were you listening? That's what Pip and I said. We said fifth grade's a great time to start teaching slavery, start introducing the concept of it.
Oh, really? I was doing tech work, trying to get me back up. All right, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're not insane. We didn't decide that second grade is the perfect time to start jumping into this. But we are saying that if you insisted on teaching it, don't change what it is.
Don't we have enough horrors to cover with what we did to the Native Americans? Do we have to throw every horror that this country's done? And listen, the country's done a lot of great things too.
It's like the Trail of Tears is not the Trail of Happy Meals.
No.
You don't try to change it and make it nicer.
The Trail of Happy Meals would be delicious and wonderful.
That would be awesome.
Agreed. Basically, you got to be kidding me with what's soft soap in the words here. And why they're doing it? Well, at second grade, they should, well, don't teach it in second grade.
Yeah,
sixth grade.
And they weren't teaching. Here's the thing. They weren't teaching it in the second grade. So this whole thing is because they want to start teaching it in the second grade.
But change what it is. It's like, are we going to teach the Holocaust in second grade too? These kids will never sleep again.
No, I mean, listen. Like I said, if you really want to teach some of the horrors of the United States, you could do it. You could do it with the Native Americans.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you really want to... But you know what the second grade is when you talk about the pilgrims and shit like this?
Yeah, but they kind of started in with they were all buddies and they had a big Thanksgiving meal together.
Well, that's where the story ends. That's where they end it because this is the beginning of social studies. You're not doing social studies in the first grade.
No.
Not at all. And the second grade, you started to use the, you're learning English, you're learning math. Language arts, you're learning that. Because your mind isn't set up at that point.
Right.
You're not really grasped, and that's why they want to soft soap the words.
Here's the problem. When your parameters are, we don't want to make students feel bad by facts, you're saying you're no longer a place of education.
True.
Listen, these are the facts. Now, there are ways to do it. You go, yeah, if I'm teaching, I go, and the white man's the devil. No, no. No, no. No, no. That.
Right. So you don't, like you just said, Dad, you know, I don't want to use these terms so the kids, you know, feel, you know, uneasy about it. At that age, they can't comprehend what you're telling them.
Right.
At fifth grade, yes. Sixth grade, yes. When you should be, and don't soft soap the words one iota. They need to know what was going on. And so for them to carry on about this, especially for 12 hours.
But right? But this was my point. Again, we have conservatives being quote-unquote woke. I just wish people, the unwashed masses, I just realized they could stop. I wish they could stop looking and going, oh, it's just the right, it's just the left. And go, no, it's both. They just pick their sides to be assholes and ridiculous with. They're just playing different topics, but they all want to protect the people they care about because they don't want to deal in reality because they're a bunch of pussies. And we say it's the younger generation, but it's the older generation that's doing shit like this.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'd rather have a sixth place trophy in Little League for an 8-year-old than soft sell slavery. If those are the only choices I get, fine. Everybody gets a trophy and everybody gets ice cream, but we still call it slavery. I mean, if those are the only two choices I can have.
Yeah.
Or you could have winners and losers, which is fine too.
Yeah, that works.
Not everybody gets to win. It's okay.
Yeah, but if we're going to have winners and losers, we also get to have owners and slaves.
Yeah. Fine.
But here's the reality.
Here's the thing. Winners and losers you have in second grade. Owners and slaves.
Later.
Yeah, you could do it. There's plenty of time.
We want them to actually.
You know what's interesting? I went to a party. Owen Beveridge was one of my first friends. He was my best friend as a kid. Moved away little bit, like when he was about 12, 14. And then like a couple of years later, I met Aunt. Aunt was one of my best friends for years. So I went to his 60th birthday party, and he's a great guy. I mean, we haven't talked in decades. And I go, I wonder how much we have in common. Well, there's something that we have, you know, like with you, Aunt, and stuff like that. We talked about topics for about 3 hours. We were going back on top policy. We were talking policy and all. And, you know, his conclusion, he's very well-read, very smart guy. And his conclusion is that the Democratic and the Republican Party to give one shit less about us.
Right.
It's basically, you know,
I think
what their agenda is and who's funding them.
I think party-wise, yes. I think there are individuals within parties who try to do good things.
Yeah.
I think, listen, I don't want to get into a whole thing about this, but Obama with healthcare, he knew that was a big political hit. He knew he was sacrificing everything, and they got their asses whooped in the midterms, and it was used to beat them, and the Democrats ran away from it. But he truly believed this was good for the people, and it's helped a lot of people. It's not perfect. You know, other people have been hurt by it. It's not perfect. But I believe Obama was a good guy. Now, are the Democrats that are just there for their power? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are the Republicans there just for the power? Absolutely. Are there good Republicans that believe in less government and less taxation and aren't hypocrites? Absolutely. They tend not to be Trumpsters, but I mean, you know, look, I look at Liz Cheney, who I agree with, I disagree with on almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, she's clear-eyed in what this is. She knows she's going to lose.
Yeah.
You know, so I think at least they have their heart. Like, you go, like, I can't say they're a bad person,
right?
Because I think they think they're doing something better, whereas opposed to other people who are just trading, trying to stay in power and everything. Mm-hmm. You can say Schumer or McConnell or this one or that one. I don't want to get into that. But I think within each party, there are good people, but the nature of our politics discourages good people from serving.
True.
But all right, so we all agree that this is stupid and stop trying to teach in the second grade to begin with. We all agree on that.
Yeah.
All right, let's do comics and
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
A white comedian claims he was rejected by Big Apple Management Company because of his skin color. Brooklyn funny man. So you know it's a well-written article. Tyler Fisher, 35, was trying to find a talent manager in October 2020. When he first connected, right in the throes of COVID, is a good time to try to seek talent management. Okay, what are you going to get booked on Zoom shows? What are you doing, stupid? In October 2020, when he first when he first connected with AGI,
Who are you calling as an established comic? What are you going to do? To freaking hand out masks?
You can test the vaccine on me. I just want to work. With AGI Entertainment Media Management, a Manhattan outfit that reps comedian Samantha Bee and Colin Quinn, television host Julie Chen, and journalist Natalie Morales. I was ready to sign the papers. I bet you were. And that's when the conversation took a turn. AGI assistant Alex Brizzle said, "We love you. Everyone here loves you and thinks you're a star. Gonna be a star, baby." Unlike the people who deal with me and go, "Yeah, we don't see it." But we're not but we're not taking you because you're white. And that's when my stomach dropped, alleged Fisher, who is now suing the company for discrimination in Brooklyn Supreme Court. Everything seemed rosy when Fisher and Brazil first spoke. He said, "Would you want to audition for Curb Your Enthusiasm?" Who says that? Of course he does, stupid. Yes. Of course he
Would you like to? No. No, I don't want to do
not
that.
Not really interested in being on a successful show. Do you have something that's streaming on a small platform for free? That's really why I'm in your office. Do you have a startup podcast? I'd love to be part of that.
Can you get me a gig on Davenstan?
Hey now.
Oh, wait.
Heavily screened and no more white guys. We're full. All these shows that I love, and so it sounded like they wanted to work with me, Fisher told the Post. Months went by and nothing happened, said Fisher, who said he was kind of just waiting by the phone, waiting for somebody to call him up and tell him he's not alone. That's a soul.
Well, it was the pandemic. What else you got to do?
That's true. We were all waiting by the phone, waiting by the TV, waiting by the fridge.
Scratching at the front door, waiting for the mail to come in.
Waiting by the sourdough recipe. We were all waiting, stupid. My therapist always said, oh boy, make sure you get things recorded. So I hit record. What about your lawyer?
Yeah.
But you do have to let people know that you're recording them in New York, I believe.
You know what? I'm not sure about that.
There's plenty of states you do.
Yeah.
New York might be one of them. I might be wrong. I could be wrong. During the phone call, which he took while in the in his podcast studio. A guy after my own heart. I think I said something like, "So you guys like me, you want to work with me, you know I've got what it takes, but the only reason is because I'm white." And he said, "Yeah." And by the way, did you hit record? Fisher, who performs at Brooklyn Comedy Club. Joe, have you ever heard of Brooklyn Comedy Club?
No, but the funny thing I think is he probably was telling the story there, and he said, "I'll mention you if I can get spots."
Yeah. I've never heard.
Know that I never heard of Brooklyn Comedy Club, and you know that they said, "Look, if you put us in the ad, you know, maybe we'll get you some more spots."
I don't think there's a place to do me a favor. When you're done looking up the law, look up Brooklyn Comedy Club. I want to see if that's a thing too.
Okay, with the here's the thing. In New York, as long as one person consents to the conversation being recorded,
all right,
it's legal.
He's fine. Good. That makes sense. I've recorded shit, too. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Brooklyn Comedy Club. Let's see what that is. Fisher, who performs at Brooklyn Comedy Club and has appeared on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, along with Younger and Chicago Med, boasts 100,000 Instagram and 146,000 YouTube followers. He also has a weekly podcast, The Tyler Fisher Show. I wonder if the members of that show fucking fetch in the middle of his podcast, too, as opposed to off the air. But I don't know. This Tyler Fisher might be somebody I need to work with. He won't reject me because I'm a white guy. In a May 17th tweet, he told his followers that, "I'm currently suing a talent manager who told me they won't work with me because I'm a white man. They just asked how much money I want to settle out of court. Update, I will not settle. I will take this all the way, even if I don't get a dime. This justified racism must end, and you're the guy. You're the guy, Tyler." Fisher wouldn't detail the purported settlement offer. Hey, we'll give you spots at Brooklyn Comedy Club. I have endless people reaching out to me privately saying, "This happened to me. I'm too afraid to speak out. I had an acting agent reach out the other day. He said, 'You have no idea how bad it is.' They're not hiding it," he said. Funny, I still see a lot of white actors on TV. Anyway, his lawyer, Lawrence, always a name, Spestojevich said Mr. Fisher's lawsuit seeks to enforce the idea that individuals should be judged by their qualifications, not by their race, their sex, their gender identity, their religion, or any other innate characteristic. Well, that sounds good. The idea needs to apply to everyone equally or else it loses legitimacy. Well, maybe. A source close to AGI claimed more than half of the people who they have signed on since this incident have been white men. But it wasn't this white guy. Maybe they don't like Tyler's.
Maybe they're
done fishing for Tyler's. Fisher, who has since hired manager John Fatigate, who helped him book a role on the Daily Wire film Terror on the Prairie with actress Gina Carano, who, by the way, couldn't wait to go back to Disney, even though she said anyway. Nobody cares about Daily Wire movies. Stop it. Stop it. Kirk Cameron has more viewers, you know, with his Fakakta movies.
Oh, my God.
Fisher, who is seeking unspecified damages. Just give me a taste, baby. I'm hoping this can draw some attention to getting back to why we are putting race and gender and pronouns and all this before who's qualified for the job. How do pronouns fit into this argument?
I don't know.
Pronouns do not fit in this argument.
No.
Talking point, trying to get the right wing. That's what he's trying to do there.
Yes.
Brazil could not be reached. An AGI spokesman said, well, we can't comment on active litigation. That's true. We are proud to represent a roster of artists who we work with based solely on their talent. All right. Listen, here's the thing. We're talking about, like, on its face, This makes absolute sense. How dare they? Like, if you believe the story.
Yeah.
If you believe
it. Oh, okay. If you're buying his story.
If you're buying Tyler Fisher's story.
Right.
How dare they refuse this uber-talented guy just because he's white? You wouldn't say that to a black man. You couldn't.
Can you imagine?
I can. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. What we're talking about is a different type of animal over here. You know, Joe said, do you really want to be in a place where you feel rushed? Do you really want to be in part of a management team that doesn't want to work hard to represent you? Like, if they really thought you had the goods,
yeah,
they'd snap you up.
Right.
If the story is true, what a stupid thing to say. You know, is that really easier than saying we don't have a place for you?
I mean, it's outrageous.
I mean, listen, I never heard of this guy before. I looked at his quote-unquote special, another one of my pet peeves where everybody films something and then they put it on YouTube for free or Amazon Prime where I heard that you even have to pay to get it on there. I don't know if that's true or not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, everybody's got specials. I just did 12 specials in the Bahamas because I had my phone set up. I will be putting my special out for free for you all to enjoy. Specials. So, listen. It's a different business, man. If they don't think they can sell you, that's the way it is. What's the purpose? What's the point of being on the roster if they can't do anything for you? Joe and I know a whole legion of people that were represented by various agencies who, when we'd be sitting at the diner, would be bitching, oh, they're not doing anything for me. This sucks. And me and Joe would be sitting there going, because nobody wanted to touch us. They were just quite honest with us. You go, well, do you want to be part of any? I mean, is it even worth it to be represented by these people if they're not going to do anything for you?
Right.
Then no. They did you a favor. Yeah. They did you a favor. I'm not really buying this guy's story to begin with.
It just seems so outrageous to say that, you know. I mean,
I don't think it is at all because basically it is happening. If you're a white male, you're persona non grata.
But this agency said more than half the people we signed since this time are white men. If they're putting that out there. No, we'll see. If the lawsuit goes forward and this goes, no, that's not fair.
They've only signed.
5 white men and they signed 95 of everybody else, then Tyler Fisher might have an argument there. But if they signed 70 white men and 40 of everything else, no, dude, they just didn't want you. And I'm like, all right, let me check this guy out. I've never heard of this guy. Doesn't mean anything. I watched part of his special. It wasn't.
I mean,
he's fine. He's fine. I don't think comics translate well on video anyway. I say that all the time. Mm-hmm. They're much better live. It was edited. It wasn't like you could see jumps in it. So apparently the special wasn't so special. It was filmed at some place. It wasn't filmed at a big theater or something like that. He did what everybody did. So yeah, he's got now. Listen, people checked it out. People know who he is that are not me. He's not a nobody.
Right.
But there's just not enough heat on this guy for this agency to snap them up. Somebody else did. If somebody else snapped you up, what are you bitching about? You're signed. Yeah. What are you complaining about? I don't understand.
Well, I mean,
but the thing about it is, if you watch commercials, okay, there's hardly any white people on commercials anymore.
Oh, really? Who's working with the ostrich in those and those insurance commercials? It's a white guy. Joe froze. I broke Joe.
You broke Joe. Look what you
did.
No,
my had to restart again.
Okay. Oh God.
Joe's having Tech Tuesday. No, yeah, I mean, listen.
So am I.
There are. I know what Joe's saying.
Yeah.
Because there's more than we've ever seen before of everybody else.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, huh? Wow. There's a gay couple. You didn't see that before. There's an Asian and a black couple. You didn't see that before.
Right.
But there's still plenty of white guys dotting the things. And you know what? Let's be honest. Let's say it was true. Let's say it was true.
Yeah.
I don't think it is, but let's say it was. To be fair, when it comes to most places of industry, white men have had a hell of a run. I mean, it got to the point with white men where we had to paint ourselves black because you know we had to act as women. Old entertainment.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With blackface and everything, yeah. Or dressing up as women. They were just hiring white men. It's been so in entertainment, especially white men have had a hell of a run. So it's hard. And listen, I'm a white guy. I'm recently white because Jews weren't always considered white. Depends what's going on in the country. Depends who you.
Yeah, according to this shift, you're a white guy.
Yeah, well, that could change next week if some of these, white power people get into power. But we've had a good run. You know, maybe it's somebody else's.
So if you go to an agency and the agency tells you we can't use you because you're white, and wouldn't you think that was discriminatory?
I would. No, I'm not. Listen, if this happened, I'm not saying it doesn't suck. I'm not saying, of course, I'd be fucking furious. But this guy got signed by a right-wing media company. The agency in question said more than half the people we have signed since this guy applied, have been white. They gave you a statistic. If you were really having a lawsuit, you will find out who their roster is and who they signed. And, you know, if they're full of shit, now we have something to talk about. If they're not.
But, you know, also with that, I mean, Adam is, part of the conservatory company, whatever. Yeah, I mean, he's getting spot. But a couple of years ago, I asked him, I was working with him. I was actually emceeing that night. And I go, how do you want me to bring you up? He goes, tell everybody that I'm doing a special and a video, and I'm doing a CD along with it. All right, so they tell him. So I'm working the next year with him. And I go, how do you want me to bring you up? And he goes, just tell him I'm doing, just tell him I'm pushing my CD. I go, what about the special? He goes, I'm middle-aged and I'm white. There's none of that. That's not going to happen.
You know what? But there's still plenty.
Certain point where you get his stature, they're even telling him.
Listen, Adam, I think Adam's very funny. And I know he's a good friend of yours. I've always enjoyed his comedy. But it's not like this guy didn't have a shot. He's had plenty of TV shows. He's had plenty of work. I mean, listen, man, not everybody gets to stay on top forever. Not everybody's, I don't know, Steve Martin.
But like I'm saying, they're not taking the talent in question. It's you're middle-aged and you're white. It's not that you're extinct.
Well, because you know what? Because they've heard that point of view before. I mean, I have I know Adam's older stuff. It was from being a white guy and growing up in a white neighborhood. It was, again, very funny. I'm a fan of Adam. I'm not trying to disparage Adam at all. But they're trying to give other voices. Are these other voices always as funny as Adam? No, to be fair. A lot of these other voices.
And another thing. The state economy, most of these people are awful because they're picked on, they're black, they're Indian, whatever. And look, we know a lot of funny black comics, a lot of funny Indian comics, and a lot of female comics, and which are very popular, but some of them are good. Most of them, to an extent, stink.
Because they're picking people for looks, though, who they can do things with. What they're telling Adam is, no, we got a lot of people just like you who have a name who can put asses in seats. You had your shot. That's the reality. You had your shot. And Adam's had way more shots than Joe had. Maybe if Joe had those shots, Joe would be a household name. Maybe Joe, if Joe had those shots, he'd still be putting out specials that people wanted to see. I don't know. I mean, it's hard for somebody. Like, I get why Adam's upset, but yeah. you got to look at the career and go, man, I've had a lot of opportunities. I've had a lot of success. You know what? Just tour. Be happy. You know, realize.
That's what he's doing. Actually, that's what he's doing.
That's fine. He still gets to play A clubs. He still gets to do what he loves and make a living at it. I don't know if Adam's bitter or not bitter.
Here's the thing. You go into, you know, if that you realize what's going on, and then you go into plan B. Like, he's doing a lot of podcasts and stuff like that. Pretty good. And he's doing it because that's an option, you know? He's also got a couple of projects he's working on because that's an option. So he's not going back to the plumbing business because he, you know, said, hell, so you make the option on that. Yeah, I was having a conversation. I went to visit down at McGuire's, and I was talking with my buddy Matt Burke and, you know, and Adam and stuff like that. And I was mentioning, you know, the way I feel about comedy right now is there's no Aspen. It's not going to be Aspen. There's not going to be Montreal. So I'll work on side projects. I'll do the best I can and, you know, still try to keep going in the industry. So you got to have a plan, you know, plan B. But if they're, you know, if the told this guy, look, we'll sign you, but basically the market right now is not for white comics. You will sign you, and we'll see if we can get, you know, we can market you and get you work. If you're up front and say we'll put you on the roster, that's fine. But if they turn around and go, well, you know, we don't need you because you're white. You know, it's the way the business is. I mean, let's not kid each other. But if you were more diplomatic with it or willing to put them on the roster and tell them, look, a lot of it's Latino, black, you know, Asian women. So we'll put you on the roster and we'll try to get you work, but we can't really promise you the start. At least they're leveling with you. And it's your decision to go on and go, you know, the phone isn't ringing. Well, we told you, you know, we put
this guy, this
contract is a year.
This,
you know,
guy got the second
put
best
on for a year.
This, hold on. This guy got the second best answer in the industry of comedy. No. The first best answer is yes. Second best is no. Third best is you keep on calling and waiting and nobody tells you. He didn't like why it was a no. I don't know if it's why, but he got told no. But he landed on his feet and he's doing something else. Listen, like I said, it's a different industry. If you're a fireman and you say we have enough white firemen, what's that have to do? We're not trying to, you know, it's how can I put out a fire? But that's not what entertainment is. If it's CPAs...
I understand that, but basically what it is that if they leveled with him and said, well, you want to be on the roster, fine, we can't promise you much because, what, you know, it's not because you're white, but because everybody's looking for women. They're looking for Asian. They're looking for Hispanic. They're looking for black. You're in the business. You fucking know that.
I don't think this guy does. That's what it is, Joe. This guy doesn't know that. That's what it is. So what? So they're supposed to sign this guy to make him feel good? Who the hell does anything in our industry to make anybody feel good?
Level with him and sign him and tell him, look, the contract's for a year. This is where the industry,
Joe,
is. So if you're not picking up, if you're not getting auditions, that's the reason
let
why.
Let me tell you
let
something.
Let us know what you want to do.
Let me tell you something about this industry.
Tell him you give him a shot, but you're also telling him where the business is right now. You and I know this, Dad. I mean, we're middle-aged people. You know, I'm late on middle age. So basically, there is no Montreal. There is no freaking Aspen. We know this. So if we wanted to hook up with an agency and go, well, don't expect to get Montreal or Aspen. And, you know, you guys are white guys. I could see what we, you know, we could, but I can't promise you much. It's an understandable answer. We know the business. It's obvious. You know, all right, thank you very much. And they go, well, you're middle-aged and white. Yeah, it's discriminatory.
I don't know, man. I mean, there's nobody in this business who does stuff just not to hurt your feelings. It's not that kind of business. It's a vicious business. I mean, I guess they could have lied to him to make him feel better. I guess. Listen, I think if they thought they can make money with this guy, and he's a short guy, so that's his hook. He's got some jokes about being like short and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, people ask, oh, so what did your dad like pull out or something? Like, these are some of his jokes and everything. Like, just a drop of cum.
Yeah, yeah.
These are some of the profound jokes that Tyler Fisher has. And listen, people like it. That's fine. They just looked at him and go, we can't make money with you. We have limited resources, limited talent agents. We're not going to make money with you. Go someplace else. And somebody else picked them up, and hopefully they make a ton of money with Tyler Fisher. I mean, it just seems stupid. Like I said, on its surface.
Like I said, you know, look, turning around and say we can't make money with you is true. But just one of, basically, you know what the industry's looking for right now. I don't know if there's going to be much stuff for you. And with that, I think that we wouldn't be the best bet to help your career. You're leveling with them. You're giving them the reasons why. You're not just, well, because you're white. And you know what? Maybe in the agency's defense, maybe that's what they told them. And they go, oh, because I'm white. Well, slow down. You don't know what the industry's looking for. So there's a bit of a give and take on this.
Let me tell you, listen. If this guy, and then we'll move on because it's getting late. If this guy was in such high demand, and again, I don't know him. I only watched a few minutes of his special because I don't have that much time to devote to it, and I wasn't enthralled, but it was fine. If this guy was so in demand, so good, so must say, his special wouldn't have been edited poorly and on YouTube for free.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way it is. This guy's probably more successful than me, which is fine.
I mean, since you started that, since you guys have been talking about this, at first I thought this is outrageous for somebody to be told that. But you know what? This has been the industry forever. I mean,
they do it to women. You're too old. That's why women lie about their age.
I know.
They do it to women. You're too fat. That's why women become anorexic and have eating disorders. That's this industry.
Yeah.
Yes. In another job, you know, if you walk in, you go, no, you're too fat. You're too old. You couldn't do that in any other job. In entertainment, you can. That this guy doesn't get. That's what I'm saying. On its face, it's outrageous. And if somebody did not know our industry, you go, that's outrageous. That's
yeah.
But when you know that it's really putting asses in seats and making money, and how can we exploit you so we can both make money, you go, yeah.
Flavor of the month.
He got the second best answer he could get.
Yeah.
He just didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
He didn't want to hear it. That's what. There's no other industry where you could walk in and go, nah, you're too old. You couldn't do that. But if Pip walked into a casting agent and she had a great read, they would go, listen, we like you.
But you're too fat.
Or old. Yeah. That's just what this is. And women have been dealing with this forever. That's why they always lie about their age. That's why they get ribs removed and shit.
Right.
It's just like, stop it, Tyler. You're not a special snowflake. You're not that. You're not good enough. You're just not that good enough for this agency. Now, some other agency picked you up and thought you'd be perfect. Tremendous.
You happy with that?
Yes. Good for you, Tyler. Maybe you're going to make Apple eat their words.
Yeah.
Blow up and become a star. But you're not the great white hope. That's all.
Yeah.
That's why I just can't take it. Because I know this industry.
Yeah.
Like I said, on the surface, do it to a police, military, sales clerk. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Because it has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But entertainment is totally different.
Yeah.
It's its own animal.
Exactly. All right.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh. Straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
All right. Let's get through these quickly. I don't know if we're going to do the other two stories. We'll see how long this one takes.
Okay.
An Australian traveler's attempt to eat fresh in transit backfired spectacularly after she was fined nearly $1,800 for failing to declare her Subway sandwich in customs. A clip detailing the fine dining fiasco currently boasts over 176,000 views on TikTok. Do that, Tyler! It is like my mistake, Perth model Jessica Lee described in the clip of the catastrophe, which occurred while she was returning home from Singapore. The influencer, who was reportedly famished after her 11-hour flight, said she'd bought a foot-long Subway in Singapore, whereupon she ate half her sandwich and saved the rest for a flight down under. I wonder where she puked, where in the flight she puked it at.
The bathroom, I think.
No, I mean, obviously. I don't think she did in the bag and the seat back in front of her. I ate 6 inches like the whore I am. I ate 6 inches before my second flight and then saved the other 6 inches for the flight, which they were more than happy with, the hangry Lee described. However, disaster struck after the bombshell, who didn't end up finishing her meal, forgot to declare the snack on her upcoming passenger card. I thought the little declaration thing you do is for your carry-ons and your luggage, so I didn't tick the tick chicken and I didn't tick lettuce. Lee lamented, chicken and lettuce. That's a very bland sandwich. As a result, the accidental sandwich smuggler was slapped with $264,000 fine, $1,800 at customs, $803. Customs violating Australia's stringent biosecurity laws. Needless to say, Aussies were apoplectic over the penalty. I quit my job before this trip, Rude Lee, who reportedly has just 28 days to pay the fee. Right when her rent is due. Maybe you shouldn't have quit your job, stupid. The TikTok commentariat sympathized with Lee's post-flight plight, with one commiserator writing, "That's extortion. Please, why is our government so dramatic?" griped another empathizer, while one fan wrote, "Bruh, surely they could have given you a warning. It's not like you were purposely importing it." Others urged Lee to fight the exorbitant charges. I definitely think you could contest this. Push up your tits, urged one online ally.
Push up your tits is what they urged?
Bat your eyelashes. Spread your legs. I definitely traveled so many times with food for personal consumption on the plane. She's an influencer. You're helping her influence. One TikTok traveler found that fine particularly ludicrous, arguing the Australians let international visitors off with a warning on border security with bags of fish and nuts and seeds. Who is fucking smuggling fish in? That is not a good traveling food.
Well, so never mind.
I mean, I bring in cans of tuna. I did bring in cans of tuna to the Bahamas.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah, but tinned food? That's a problem?
Not for me. However, Lee claimed that customs officers told her that foreign travelers get a pass due to the language barrier, because I speak perfect English, I can get the fine. That makes no sense.
No.
In a similarly ridiculous penalty in 2018, a Colorado woman was slapped with a $500 fine at customs for saving a complimentary apple she'd received on Delta Airlines while returning to flight from the United States and France. You know, I just traveled internationally. They didn't ask me all this shit. Like you fill out a card, but I brought in canned tuna fish. I brought in cereal.
Yeah. I mean,
I brought in Sour Patch Kids. I mean, isn't that a human trafficking?
No.
Aren't they little people?
But they're not against. There can't be a potential biohazard.
Oh, you eat too many of them. There will be a biohazard.
Joe, that's what you did. That's why you had to go to the doctor, right?
Yeah, too many Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
Sour Patch Kids, yeah.
Listen, it's just too much. The fine's too much. That's stop it.
Crazy.
Stop it. Throw away the sandwich.
Listen, we know that Subway sandwiches are a biohazard anyway.
Oh, stop.
So we probably shouldn't have smuggled it in.
Stop it. I love their pseudo tuna fish.
I know you do. Yeah. But
it wasn't like she was smuggling. She just wanted to save the rest of the sandwich for later.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether, you know, it's ridiculous how crazy they got about it. It's not like I'm bringing them liquor or wine under cliff. I had a sandwich on the plane. I didn't finish the rest of it. I wanted to save it for later, and now I'm getting a fine?
Yeah, it's a little, a lot of overkill. It won't be a biohazard if she eats it.
No.
You know?
Well, it might be if she eats it, and depending where she leaves it.
That's true, and it was a Subway sandwich, so it is a biohazard.
It started fresh. It's not now.
Maybe the fine should have been higher if you brought out a nice
Stop
deli
it.
Sandwich.
I will not have you speak that way of the people that put me on Comedy Central. How dare you? I was a fresh face of comedy. Have you forgotten?
I did forget.
Yeah, how dare you?
Sorry.
Yeah, a little fucking respect.
But was it romaine? I gotta know.
No, I was a fresh face. My face wasn't romaine, stupid.
No, the lettuce. The lettuce! It's all about the lettuce.
Why do you care if it's romaine?
You know, we were talking about sea turtles before, and you got them iceberg, didn't you?
Yeah, I know. There's no nutrients.
Yeah.
It's a fucking snack. But you know what? If I can eat junk food, so can they. You know what? You know how much fucking lettuce costs in the Bahamas? Everything is expensive in the Bahamas.
Did you try to slide those poor sea turtles some Sour Patch Kids?
I did
is that
not.
What you did?
I did not. Did not even give them grapes.
All right. Good.
I gave them iceberg lettuce. It was a tasty treat.
No, iceberg lettuce is not tasty.
You know what? The turtles beg to differ. The 15 or 16 were throwing themselves on top of each other to have lettuce. So
that's not what they were doing that for.
Yes, it was.
They were throwing themselves on top of each other to make other little sea turtles.
No.
No.
Don't make it weird. We're not doing the lizard story tonight.
Okay.
We're gonna take a break. That's what I think we should
do. Yeah, we should.
So let me cue up the music because I didn't know we were gonna take that break. And the Craig Grant thing is just too long to do.
Oh,
tonight.
Okay.
I mean,
we'll do it next week. We could do it next week.
Thank you, Joe. One less story I have to look up this week.
Stories have died.
Stories have died. They have. Sometimes a story doesn't make it, and we never get to do it. I mean, that happens. I think I have stories from like 2020 that I meant to get to. Seriously,
there are stories that we've pushed along for several weeks, and we're like, oh, fuck it.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. All right, on the break. Let's put that over here.
What are you doing, filing on the show? Come on.
On the break, we got new music from Egon Moylan with All I Want Is Money. And you can learn more about him at fluttertone.com. And we have B Infinite and Mario Beck with Love Me. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. When we come back, we'll do some